Heavenly Father, we do thank you for gathering us together in Christ's name. We thank you that your Spirit is here and ministering amongst us. And we thank you for this series where we've been able to take a deeper look at who Jesus is for us and all that he thinks and dreams of for us. Please help us to hear you today. Please help us to trust Jesus more as we learn of his love for us. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, we are continuing on the Behold Him series, and here's my first question for you. What is Christ's heart for us? What's his heart for you? Now, that's a different question to simply what has Christ done for us or done for you? We all might know, or we might be investigating the wonderful truth of what Christ has accomplished for us, what he's gifted us, how he's washed away our sin before God and made us clean before the Father, reconciling us to the Heavenly Father, making the way for us that we can follow him into glory. These are wonderful things, true things. But I wonder, do you know not only what Jesus has done for you, but also his heart for you? Do you know not only his atoning work for our sinfulness, but also his longing heart of compassion for us in our ongoing battle with sinfulness? See, I've had too many pastoral conversations over the years that go something along these lines. The person knows and can believe that Jesus does love them, but also wonders if actually he might be deeply disappointed with them as they continue to struggle in whatever their sin is. Or then there's those that can believe Jesus' death on the cross does actually save them, but they worry what it will be like when they meet him face to face. Maybe he's going to have some stern words for them, some words of rebuke for them, before perhaps reluctantly he does allow them into glory. Those for whom Jesus is likely to meet them with a pointed finger or crossed arms before any sort of welcome. Then, of course, there's those who do know the gospel and they even share it with other people, but they fear that because of their failures and weaknesses and vices, God's patience with them must surely be wearing thin. Now, perhaps that's not your story. Perhaps it's not your story in this season, though many of us have walked in seasons like that, myself included. But let me say to you today, if it is the season you're in, if it is your story, then today's message is especially for you. Behold him, friend, Jesus, the gentle and lowly. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's Jesus speaking, of course, and it's a word of invitation, isn't it? And notice particularly who it is that's invited. Those who are weary and burdened. Those who are aware of the weight of their baggage. Those who are aware that their life is not all rosy and they haven't got it all together. Those who are aware of sin and regret and are tired of the struggle and the fight that they find themselves in. Those who are aware of their brokenness and just how burdensome it is. If you are aware today of the battle of sin, if you are aware of how much energy and life it is stealing from you, and you're feeling the weight of that, if you are weary and burdened, then you are exactly who Jesus is talking to. Come to me. Now, I think we often have that backwards in our minds, actually. I think we feel that the weight of our burden and the fatigue of the ongoing battle, when we feel those things, we think to ourselves, "Oh, can't come to Jesus like this. I need to clean myself up a bit before I would go to him. He doesn't want to see me like this. He wants to see me at my best, not at my worst. But take note, that's not what Jesus said, is it? Come to me, Jesus said, not when life is smooth and sweet and smelling rosy. Come to me when you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We saw some of this playing out in Jesus' own ministry in the passage from Luke 5, which did indeed include fish. I don't know if Trev even knew that, actually. The ordinary fisherman, Simon, so aware of the depths of his own sin, the leper who'd been cast out from society for who knows how long, and Levi, this despised tax collector, and the other sinners who gather at Levi's house. Notice how Jesus met them all exactly where they were, exactly as they were. Not cleaned up and not smartened up, but precisely in their mess. Right there in the very midst of it, and that's when he said, come to me. And they all do. The fishermen left everything, including that massive catch that they just got. They follow Jesus. The leper cries desperately before Jesus, if you are willing, Jesus, you could make me clean. Jesus says, not only I am willing, be clean, but he reached out and touched this leper. First touch this man would have received in who knows how long. I am willing, be clean. When the religious bigwigs come complaining to Jesus' disciples about the lowlifes that Jesus is hanging out with and eating with at Levi's house, it's Jesus who corrects them. It's not the healthy I've come for. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. It's not the cleaned up, the ones who have it all together, who think they're okay. They're not the ones I've come for. I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let me say again, if you're aware today of the burden, if you're aware of the messiness of your own heart, of how poorly you measure up compared to the purity of God himself, then come to Jesus. Exchange the yoke that you are carrying, this yoke that comes with trying to follow the rules and trying to appear like you've got it all together and trying to look like you're winning at life. Put that off and exchange it instead for Jesus' yoke and learn from him. And find rest for your souls, for your yoke. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We know this idea of the yoke, right? For years and years, I actually thought it was the yellow part of an egg. It's not. It's spelt different. The yoke is the piece of wood that was over the two bullocks as they were pulling the plough or the cart or whatever it was that they were doing in their work. And the yoke was the thing that would help them to pull evenly, to pull straight so the driver could steer them. And so Jesus is reminding us that we're all carrying a yoke. We don't come unburdened. All of us are carrying a yoke. And either we're carrying our own yoke or we exchange it for Jesus' yoke. They're the only two options. And Jesus is inviting us. Take off this yoke where you are trying to drag all this baggage around by yourself and bear it all and trying to solve it all on your own, and instead exchange it for mine. Take off your burdensome, weighty, unachievable yoke and allow Jesus to do the heavy lifting. Allow Jesus to direct and steer which way we'll go. Take off your yoke and take Jesus' yoke on instead. It's the only options we've got before us. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And how is it, friends, that we can approach Jesus like this? With all of our baggage laid open before him, with the worst of our stains and sins and burdens, how can we approach Jesus, the Holy One, like this? Well, we can approach him because he is gentle and lowly in heart. Did you know that this is the only place in all of the Gospels that Jesus tells us about his own heart? the only place. We see Jesus' love in action in many, many places. But only in this verse does he tell us what is going on in his heart. And you need to know that when the Bible speaks of heart, it's not just talking about our emotional life or the things we're feeling. The heart in the Bible is more like the motivational headquarters of the person. It's the engine room. It's the thing that drives them and what they do. What's in a person's heart, when the Bible speaks of the heart, is the reason that they get out of bed in the morning. It's the things that they dream about at night. It's the very center of all that they care about. I wonder then if you're surprised about the one time Jesus tells us what's in his heart and what he says drives him. He doesn't say, "I'm holy and loving in heart." He doesn't say, "I'm exalted and righteous in heart." He doesn't say, "I'm joyful and generous in heart." Jesus is all of those things. But what he wants us to know about his heart is that he is gentle and lowly. So what does he mean by that? Jesus is gentle. Your version might have meek or humble. The idea here is that he is not harsh or reactionary. He's not easily exasperated. Because Jesus is gentle in heart, he is the most compassionate, the most understanding, and the most patient person you could ever meet. His most natural posture is not a pointed finger at us or a stern rebuke, but arms of open welcome. He's ready to embrace us, ready to walk alongside us, because at his heart, Jesus is gentle. And he's also lowly, or humble, as in some translations. This does overlap with gentleness, but it's actually not about his character trait of humility, though he is full of humility. His lowliness is actually about his position. Jesus being lowly means that he is accessible to us. For all of his resplendent glory and his dazzling holiness, there has never walked on earth someone who is more approachable than Jesus. He's not distant. He's not high and mighty. He's not available only to the special few who have the special pass, or the wealthy, or the rich, or the famous. No. He is lowly. He is accessible. He's available to anyone who would take up his invitation and come to me. And there it is, friends. That's the minimum bar that Jesus needs to be to allow you to be enfolded into his welcome. The minimum bar is simply this: you have to come. You have to come. You have to take him up on the invitation. You have to open yourself up to him. Nothing else. He doesn't need you to clean yourself up or attempt to fix yourself up a bit, make yourself more presentable. None of that stuff. You simply need to come to him. It's all he needs. It's all he works with. Indeed, it's those who know we are burdened and weary who are most aware that we're unable to fix ourselves up, aren't we? We are out of options to make ourselves look good. And it's when we're most honest with ourselves about that, that we'll be most qualified, most ready to come to Jesus, to unburden us. And it's our very burden that qualifies us to come, our soul sickness that calls on us to come to the soul doctor, Jesus. Jesus, of course, sees the brokenness in our messy lives. It's not a surprise to him. He sees the scars of sins we've committed and sins that have been committed against us. He sees the battle that we're in this life, the pain of it, the grief of it, the burden of it. And as Jesus sees this in our lives and the lives of those around us, his desire is that we would come to him out of the storm. His desire that we would find rest outstrips even our own desire that we would find rest. Jesus is the brother with his arms around us, helping us on the journey. He's not the boss behind the big flashy desk, disapproving and disappointed. Gentle and lowly. According to his own testimony, this is Christ's very heart for you and for me, for sinners and sufferers everywhere. It's who he is, tender, open, welcoming, accommodating, patient, understanding, willing, gentle, and lowly. Now, this means for the penitent, for those who hear his invitation and take him up on it, come to him, that his heart of compassion and embrace is never outmatched by the depths of our sins. His mercy is truly more, as we've sung about this morning. For lowliness and gentleness is not simply one way that Jesus occasionally acts towards outsiders. Gentle and lowly is who he is. It's his heart. It's what he wanted us to know about the very centre of who he is. And he can't ungentle himself or unlowly himself any more than you or I could change our eye colour. It's who we are. Now, I want to give a little advertisement at this point, because many of these ideas I've got from this fantastic book called Gentle and Lowly. And you will see this advertised in all good Christian bookshops a lot at the moment. It's a fairly recent publication. It's about $20. If this is particularly resonating with you, if you need to sit with this longer and hear the assurance of Jesus' heart for you and really meditate on it and soak it in, can I point you towards this book? It's a wonderful book. Can I also say today, if it's really sitting with you, please come and talk to Trev, come and talk to me, come and talk to Andy or anyone else that you trust who will pray with you. We'd love to do that. So let me end where I begun. What is Christ's heart for you? On the day when you see him face to face, will he be happy to see you? On those days when you've stumbled again, you've fallen again, does he really want to hear from you then? Even though you come with that same confession and that same burden. Yes. 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 Please hear that. For Jesus' heart for you and for me is gentle and lowly. His arms are open. His heart is full of compassion. And his desire that we would find rest outmatches even our own desire for that. This is his heart for us sinners and sufferers. Willing, tender, gentle, and lowly. Amen.